There he that we find that God detected something in Joseph. He moved him to second in command. Job was rewarded greatly because of his patience and his loyalty to God. But you know, let me give you a couple of quick negatives, then we'll move on. One's in the Old Testament, in Numbers 12. Don't turn there. I've already talked to you about it a couple of weeks ago. Remember Aaron and Miriam? Can I say something to you? Moses, he didn't always make all the right decisions, but it didn't give his brother and sister the right to cut his legs out from underneath him. And they did, and you know how they did it? They did it with their mouth. Folks, I'm telling you, one of the hardest things that we've got to do is do this. Because you can't hardly talk when you got your tongue bit. If you'll bite your tongue, you say, but, listen, folks, we've all got our own ideas about things, and we've all got our own opinions about things, and most of the time, nobody's going to give you a plug nickel for them. Because nobody cares. So you know what we need to do? Just bite our tongue and move on. I told you a few weeks ago, you need to practice that thumper mentality. If you don't have anything good to say, thumpers, Daddy said, don't say nothing at all. You say, where's Thumper? I'll talk to you about it later. Got to have grandkids to know that kind of stuff. And then Acts chapter 5. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Boy, sure wish they'd have made the right decision. But because they decided to steal from God, they got examined. And you know what God found in their heart? The heart of a thief. These are Christian people now, folks. These aren't heathens. These are church people. He found them to have a heart of a thief. And so there he took both of their lives because of that action. That a negative thing. Why? Because God judges us, examines us today based on our defects, based on what he detects in our life. And then let me finish up and give you one more. Turn to Ephesians 2. Okay? Quickly, we'll make this one quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:10. Okay, Ephesians 2:10. For we, that's believers, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Does your King James Bible say unto good works? Okay, that's how he created us, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Didn't say we would, did it? He says, but we are created, his workmanship, created unto good works, that we should walk in them. Unfortunately, too many don't walk in them. So God has to bring his examination into our lives. So here's the third thing that God, I believe, bases his examination of our lives on this earth, based on our defects, based on what he detects in our life, and then may I say number three, based on what he expects. Based on what he expects. That word expect there just simply means to consider reasonable or do. Well, you know what? I think I read in the Bible in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 that the scripture is very plain that in our service for God, that we ought to give our life to him and serve him, that it's our reasonable service. That word reasonable just means that that's what is due to him. We owe that to him for his sacrifice for us. And so God is going to examine us based on what he expects. Listen to me. Can I say something to you tonight? God will inspect what he expects in your life. You know what he expects us to do? He expects us to conform to the image of his son. He expects us to step into that perfect will of God. You say, preacher, I wonder where that perfect will of God is for my life. Have you ever thought about getting on your knees and asking God to reveal that will to you? Because I'm here to tell you, he's not trying to hide it. He's trying to get you in it so that you can be happy, so that you can be in his favor. Hey, he's going to inspect because he's our heavenly Father. And he wants to bless us and he wants to keep us in his favor. You say, preacher, what does he expect? Well, first of all, he expects surrender. Yeah, he expects surrender. Say, why does he expect surrender? Well, let's see. Let's think back to about 2,000 years ago to a cross. Did he not give it all for you? Then isn't it my reasonable service to take this old body and make it a living sacrifice? Holy, acceptable unto him? Yeah, it says it's our reasonable service. It's the least we could do. God expects surrender. You say, surrender of what? Your life, your family, your finances, everything. Surrender totally to him. So, okay, what else does he expect, preacher? Well, not only does he expect surrender, but may I say also he expects obedience. How many mamas and daddies in here expect obedience from your children? That's what I thought. Three or four. No, every parent expects obedience, right? And when do you expect obedience? Do you expect full obedience or do you expect partial obedience? Do you expect obedience whenever your child decides to obey or do you expect obedience when you tell them to obey? You see, the thing about it is delayed obedience is disobedience. And so God expects obedience. You say, how do we know that from Scripture, preacher? Because John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, I said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's a big if there in front of that because most of us, we say we love him, but we don't show we love him. And he says, if you love me, then you keep my commandments. You say, what are the commandments? There's more than 10 of them. Yeah, there's more than 10 of them. And if we'd get familiar with them, you know what? Some of us might get our life on track with God if we just get familiar. That's what he expects. And he's going to inspect our heart for surrender. He's going to inspect our obedience. May I say to you next that God not only expects surrender, obedience, but he expects us to be a witness. Do you know the last thing he told us to do before he ascended up into heaven was to go and be a witness in Acts 1:8? He said, where, preacher? To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That means we're supposed to be winning souls at home and abroad. He expects us to be a witness. Now, folks, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm just asking, when's the last time you've reached in your pocket and given anybody a track? When's the last time you've left a track on a counter or given it to someone at the grocery store or just somebody that you're out mowing your lawn and somebody's walking by, you cut the lawnmower off, went over there and gave them a track? I wonder how many of us even keep tracks close to the front door. So when people come by trying to sell something or people come by knock on the door that we say, oh, hang on. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong address. Oh, no. You've got the right address. Well, I thought you told me they didn't live here. They don't, but you got the right address. Because Jesus sent you here tonight. He did? Why? Because of this right here. He wants you to go to heaven. Hey, folks, listen, we've got to think. God expects us to be a witness. May I say to you next? God expects worship. Yeah, he expects worship. Psalm 99:5 says, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. You know what he expects when we come to church? He doesn't expect us to pair up and talk about all the things that are going on in our life. When we come to church, he expects worship. He expects us to exalt him and to praise him and to lift him up for who he is and what he's going to do. Well, let me give you one more. God expects love. Yeah. He expects surrender, obedience, a witness. He expects worship, but he also expects love. You say, preacher, who does he want us to love? Well, first of all, he wants you to love the lost. Folks, you know why the world's going to hell? You say, because it's their own fault. No, you know what? The reason a lot of people are dying and going to hell is because the church ain't doing what it ought to be doing. And I'm not talking about necessarily our church. I'm talking about church in general. Because we need to be a witness. We need to be talking to people about Christ. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, we're in the two-minute warning. There's only 2 minutes left in the ball game. Time's running out. You say, no. I watched the game. It had overtime. No, you ain't getting no overtime in this game. Because when the trumpet sounds, my friend, the game's over. When the bell rings and the archangel sings, it's over! There's no overtime. You see, God expects us to love lost people. Can I say, he also expects us to love our church? By the way, do you know, after it's all said and done and the maintenance guys turn the lights off and lock this up, do you know what? This is building right there. This ain't the church no more. You see, the church is right here. That's the reason that Jesus taught his disciples and told them to, and taught them over and over to love one another, to pray for one another. And listen, he says that if you love one another and treat each other in love like I've treated you, he says, then you know what? Then people will know that you're my disciples. They'll know that you're my disciple. And one of the signs was they loved the brethren. They loved one another. And folks, I'm just going to say this and we'll be done. You know, there's a lot of brethren over the, out there that don't necessarily tie their tie like I tie mine. Some of them don't even wear a tie. You know, there's a lot of brethren out there that don't cross their T's and dot their I's exactly like I do. But may I say, too, that book right there said I'm supposed to love the brethren. And by loving them, all men will know that you're my disciples. You go read in John chapter 10, the Lord said, you know what, there's some sheep not of this fold. Hey folks, there's sheep everywhere. Do you know that? And the thing about it is, you know what? I am supposed to be kind to them. And then listen, I may not see eye to eye on every single thing, but hey, I got some news for you. Look around you. Ain't all of us see eye to eye on everything either. But you know what? We can still go to church together and love God, can't we? We can still go to church because you know what? We've got a common goal. Why? We're trying to reach people. You know, we got a common desire to serve God and love God and just have an atmosphere where we can come and feel the presence of God. Hey, Jesus is going to examine us based on our defects, on what he detects, and what he expects. Bow your head with me if you would. Every head bowed, every head closed. I know we may have a few here tonight. They would say, preacher, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I cannot honestly say that I've ever been born again. If you're here like that tonight and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that if I died tonight that heaven's my home. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? All right, how many here tonight would say, preacher, I know I've been born again. If Jesus comes back tonight while I'm in my sleep, I'm heaven bound. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I'm going to leave the covers there, the pillow there, and I'm going to heaven. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. The Father, thank you for the time we've got to spend together tonight. And Lord, we understand. I don't think there's a person here, a believer, that's been a believer any length of time that didn't understand the process of examination now. And Lord, sin will be judged and examined in our lives now. Thank God it will not be later because of Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Christ. And we're thankful for that. But while we're here, Lord, now, please put us through that examination process. Look into our hearts. Search us. Know us, Lord. And if there be any evil way in us, would you force it out? Would you clean it out of our lives? There might be any wicked thoughts in our minds, Lord, that you'd deliver. If there might be any strongholds in our life, that you'd break the bonds of the strong man out of our life, that we might be able to serve you with a right heart and right spirit. Have your way in this invitation now, in Christ's name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? Whatever your need may be tonight, you come. If you just need to come and pray, you come right ahead. Come right ahead. We're not going to tarry long. Thank you, ladies. Let's use this time, church, if you would, as our prayer time. If you can kneel with us at your pew, we invite you to do so. If you can't, you can just be seated. And we want to pray for these needs that have been mentioned. Please remember the needs that and requests that have been mentioned for Brother and Mrs. Wilson as they travel. Pray God's hand of protection upon them. For Mrs. Cowie, Brother Garman, continue to pray for Brother Ed Zeisman and Brother Thon Nine, Brother Carlos Monsivice. And I'm sure that we've got some others in our church that are still struggling with health issues. Please remember them in prayer, if you would, please. And then
just pray for God's hand on our church and blessing on our church and those in our church that are having some struggles right now. Some are financial, some are physical, some are spiritual struggles. And pray for that, if you would please, tonight. And we're going to take just a moment to have silent prayer, and then I'll conclude. Father, we're grateful that we have the Word of God in our hands. And that, Lord, that we can open it up and it literally will speak to our heart and spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is true, it's pure, it's holy. And Father, we cherish it and we thank you that for what the truths that it contains in our life that teach us what we need to be and what we should be for Christ. Please forgive us, Lord, where we have tripped up and failed and disobeyed you. Lord God, help us to find that place of repentance and come back to you and make it right. And then, Lord, I want to turn our attention for just a moment tonight toward our church needs. I do want to pray for Brother John Garman. Continue to bless him, Lord. Help him during the recuperation process. Lord, I miss him when he's not here. And I ask, Lord, that you'd heal his body and raise him up. I pray for Dorothy Cowie, Lord. Hopefully, maybe, Lord, here in the next few days, maybe they'll let her go home. But thank you, Lord, for a successful surgery. Help her recuperation time, her rehabilitation time, be very short. So I pray that you extend mercy and grace to them and that you'd show your goodness in her life as she recuperates. I'd like to also pray for Brother Ed Zeisman. Continue to bless him, his health, and his needs. I'd like to also pray, Father, for Brother Thon Nine and his financial needs and the needs of his life. And Lord, just so many issues there. And he needs a place to live and to move to that would be conducive to his financial situation. So we pray that you'd provide there. We've got several people in our church, Lord, that are looking for homes. We pray, Lord God, that you'd show them just the right home that they could purchase. And so we pray that you'd continue to open the door for them. I'd like to also ask you, Lord, to put your hand of protection on Brother and Mrs. Wilson as they travel to Colorado tomorrow. Please protect them. Keep them from harm's way. Keep the highways clear for them, Lord, all the way there and all the way home. Let them have an enjoyable time with their family. And then any others in our church that will be traveling during this Christmas holiday, that you'd care for them. Protect them on their way and on their way home. Now, Father, you've been good to us tonight. Thank you for the blessings of the day. We ask now, Lord, that you would certainly take care of us as we leave this place. Many will go out tomorrow night and try to reach some people for thee. Some will go Saturday. But regardless, Lord, you expect us to be a witness. Help us, guide us, oh, convict us, Spirit of God, of the needs of our heart. Thank you for the examination process that you put us through now to perfect us and bring us to a place of better service and surrender to thee. And we'll thank you for all that's been accomplished tonight and today in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can return to your seat. God bless you. And thank you for your attention and being here tonight. Quickly, let me just say a couple of things. First of all, I want many of you have mentioned that... About our children through our bus ministry that we provide Christmas gifts for. Back at the Hospitality Center tonight, Ms. Hope Montsevice will be back there. She